Every word that we speak is worthy to be honored by the way we speak, the way we act. I mean, for those of us who are gathered here this morning, we're born again. We were dead. We had no life. We was headed to hell, and we didn't think we was. And somehow, some way, the love of God reached us. Now we have a life. We have eternal life. We have a purpose. We have a peace. We have a joy. We have a comfort. We have patience. We have a love like never before. It's all because of Jesus. And sometimes we can get, we can forget that, can't we? We get wrapped up in things. And forget about, man, He is worthy of everything. We remind ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, last week we gathered here and we were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Think of that. A dead body. Gone. Come back to life. The Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, raised Him back to life. And He's still alive today. The awesome thing is that same Spirit that raised Jesus back to life comes into us as we surrender life to God. The same Spirit. No longer a dead man, but alive. But alive. You know, I think about Lazarus, very good friend of Jesus. And remember, he died, he was dead like 4 days, and Jesus showed up. And you have to remember this, that when Jesus called Lazarus back, he came out of that tomb of walking. But folks, he was still wrapped in a burial cloth. He had new life, but he had to be unwrapped. If he hadn't been unwrapped, he would suffocate and died again. But who did he use? He told his friends, "Now unwrap him." And they did. And folks, it's with us today. For some of us, we don't quite understand that. May I call upon the Lord, but man, I still got these things going on, okay? You will. This Word of God will unwrap them, burial cloths. This Word of God will set you free. You understand what's going on in your life. Now, I've testified many times. Some of you have been here 20 years. You've heard it all. But when I gave my life to Jesus, when I called out to Jesus, I expect to get up the next morning, be a different person, a new man, a new way of thinking, a new way of walking, you know. I mean, just she's going to have a wholly different person coming home. And I was the same stinking person I was the night before. Except I had a new spirit. I had a desire. And I started reading and praying and seeking the Lord, and man, He just started unwrapping me more and more. He's still unwrapping me. Yeah, I was talk about a breakfast wrap burrito. I mean, He's still doing it, you know. He hasn't given up on me. That's what His Word is intended to do. With each one of us here today, He'll do the same thing. If we have a desire, we have a desire, man, to get out of our stinking thinking, I guess I call it. Man, He's there with us, and to walk with Him. That thing just about killed you last night. Jesus has defeated that at the grave. He has set the captives free. He's broken chains. He's done all that. And we just cry upon Him and call upon Him. Come in. And as the word came out today, man, don't just walk closer to Jesus. It's time to run closer to Jesus. Amen. Run to Him. Oh, I'm tired of it. I mean, you know, I was getting kind of close to the Lord, and then I decided to do things my own way a little bit, you know? Because, well, you know, I don't want to be a Jesus freak. And so we go back and we start doing things like we used to. It's very comfortable. Everybody had new pair of boots. New pair of tennis. I bought a new pair of boots a couple years ago. Red Wings. Leather, I mean, it took me 8 months to break them in. You know how easy it was me going back to my striker boots, the combat boots, because they already broke in. Had holes in the bottom of them, but they're pretty comfortable, you know. But now, after not giving up and persistently wearing them things, woo-wee, that probably lasts another 5 or 10 years, I would say. But it just took time. So we all will go back to things in our life that's comfortable because, man, I tell you, when we draw closer to the Lord, the old devil don't want to give up on you. You know that? He had so much fun with you over the years. He don't want to leave you. Hey, come on, stay back here. You know, it seems like friends from your past show up all of a sudden, you know. Hey, man, I got to climb in gold, man. What are you doing tonight? Oh, wow, it's free. Okay. Whatever the temptation might be, they'll come around. And man, we got to be steadfast as we draw closer to the Lord. That's not me no more. I don't live there no more. I'm born again because He's worthy of everything because He gave me new life, Lester. 23 years ago, He birthed in me a new life. Give me His Spirit. And I'm telling you what, have we had issues in our life? Yes. But I'm telling you what, He gave me a peace and a comfort. And I can look back at some of the stuff I went through, and you know what? I brought it on myself. I thought my wife did. But I started seeing myself and seeing some of the decisions that I made that, man, they weren't good decisions. Ever make bad decisions? Yeah, but you thought they were good at the time? Well, we thought they were good, or we just thought we wanted to do them anyway. You know, we can find any reason in the world to embrace a certain sin, right? We can find a reason. That might work for you, but you don't pay me enough, so I'm gonna steal a couple of cans of tomato soup on your back shelf at your store. Always trying to justify that. Well, I know I ain't supposed to say this or do this, but you know what they did to me, David? I deserve that. I deserve it. You know what Gail said about you the other day? I'll tell you after you get down there, okay? He'll find every way in the world to twist us around, to get us off guard. He'll try to get you battle against you. Satan will try to divide the church. You know, we got to keep our eyes on the cross, amen? That's what the church is about, is following Jesus, not one another. Folks, there's nobody in here perfect. No one is perfect in here. So don't try to condemn yourself or condemn others because they're struggling with a sin that you've defeated. And you're struggling with a sin that you haven't defeated yet, but somebody else has. To encourage one another. And this thing that we're at, it's an encouragement. You know, he says in these latter days that many would depart from the faith. I think maybe some of them are going to do that because they're going to get stepped on, plowed under. They're not going to find love. They won't find forgiveness in assemblies. I'll go back across the street where they love me more. At least they talk to me. At least they share with me. So we got to be on guard to that. This whole thing is a warning to us. I mean, it's an awesome thing. It's instructions, but it warns us in these latter days. And a couple things I want to share today. I want to talk briefly today maybe about the Ezekiel War. Everybody's been studying that this week. I mentioned it last week, but we want to share that. But could you bring up the lights back here a little bit? I can't see. But a couple things I want to encouragement again in these days that we're all. I'm not going to Ezekiel yet. I'll get there probably sooner or later. It could be later than sooner. You never know where I'll be at. But again, the Word of God is given to us. For strength, for encouragement. And some of us can come into the assembly and hate God. Hey, Pastor, I never hate you. I've hated God before. I have. God didn't stop loving me. I hated Him because I didn't understand. If God can do everything, why did this have to happen? Anybody been there before? Amen. I realize as time goes on, God can do anything that we allow Him to do. But He gave us the authority to do things. I remember my daddy, when he killed himself, I thought, why? Man, now I'm not walking with the Lord. I knew of God. But he told me I'd get mad. Because I didn't know God. I just knew the scripture says God can do all things. There's nothing impossible with God. So where is your God? By the time goes on, you realize we have a free will. And there's a devil out there. There's a demon of suicide out there. A depression out there. Phew. So I'm saying, it broke God's heart. So I don't have anger, man. I repented from hating Him, but I didn't have to repent. He already forgave me. just because we don't understand. We live in a fallen world. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But we live in a fallen world. We're going to attack us and attack us. Some of us separate ourselves from God, don't believe, because we lost loved ones. It should never happen. But we live in a fallen world. Don't blame God. It's like everything that the devil does, God gets blamed for it. Every tree falls on your car, it's an act of God. I win the lottery, it's me. You see, I mean, so we get wrapped up in that. But he tells us in 1 Thessalonians, and you know this, but here I'm here to encourage you today. He says to you guys, hey, now listen. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. Those who are asleep. Now, you notice he says, oh, right here's the one I'm in, huh? Anyway, chapter 4, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. Thank you. Makes it a lot easier when they can follow me, right? It was right here, hon. Okay. Those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Those who have passed on as followers of Jesus is asleep. He didn't say dead. He said asleep. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with them those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now he's talking to the body, the dead body. We are asleep, he says. We're in heaven. And we who are alive remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, again, we're going to jump around a little bit. I'm going back to last Sunday again. When you're sitting here today, maybe you don't have a hope of a loved one that's passed on. Maybe a man, I tell you, I'm telling you what, we're going back to the cross a minute. We're going back to the thief on the cross. Amen? The thief who cried out and said, Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom today. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. When that trumpet sounds, that thief is coming back up. You understand? That born-again man who called upon the Lord is coming back. His soul and spirit's in heaven right now. But his last few minutes of his life, he recognized Jesus for who he is. He was saved. So when we're sitting around and we're down and out and we're sad because of the loved ones that went on, and to you, they never showed anything about Jesus. You witness to them about Jesus. They see you going to Bible study, going to church, living for Jesus. And they passed away. And inside of you, it's kind of like, oh man, I wish I'd done more. Hey, listen. You follow Jesus. You can't do more than that. That thief's parents, I don't believe they came to his crucifixion. They probably saw him being led out of the jail cell, headed to Golgotha with Jesus. And I would imagine the wife and the husband, or the mom and dad, or however it was. Come on, we don't need to see this. We did the best we could. He just had a crazy spot in him. They didn't see him being led to Golgotha with Jesus. They didn't see him also being nailed to the cross. They didn't see him insulting Jesus. The Bible says, oh, he did all this. But then also they didn't hear Jesus from the cross. when he looked down and all this stuff was going on. And this guy who, man, he had no goodness in him at all, insulting Jesus. And you hear him say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what he's doing." That touched his heart. Man. Oh, wow. I deserve this, Jesus. Oh. Life has changed just like that. Jesus, remember me when you go to your kingdom today. Surely be with me in paradise. Look at that. You know, who had that document? It was Brother Luke, the doctor. Trying to figure out how could Jesus still be alive, beating up like a hamburger hanging up there. So we share the hope of seeing loved ones again in heaven. But I'll tell you, if you're not walking with Jesus, you're never going to see a loved one again, whether they're in heaven or hell. Going to hell, you're separated. There is no party in hell. You're not going to go down there in hell and be the groups in the 50s and 60s. Morrison ain't down there partying with the devil right now. There's no drums in heaven and hell right now. No. But your hope is in the cross of Jesus. The loved one will be there again. So let that weight be taken away from you. That burden you have right now that you might have been carrying for a while because the loved ones have gone on and all. No. Trust in the living God. Trust in Him. And you keep your eyes on the cross. That's what it's all about. Following Him. You know, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? He truly is. There's no life outside of Jesus. There's good party times, probably. For a while. Because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll do everything he can to get that to you. But when Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly," abundant life isn't... It doesn't mean you're going to have a hamburger instead of sardines in your refrigerator, okay? It doesn't mean that you're going to have this and this. Abundant life is like everywhere, everything. But the most abundant your life you have is here. Right here. In your soul, in your heart, in your spirit. That will take you through anything. It says, encourage one another, these words. I don't know, my uncle might, hey, listen, you're not God, man. You know David? You're not. He knows a person's heart. So don't let it get you down. You lost your uncle a while back, didn't you, huh? We have a blessed hope through Christ Jesus of seeing Him again. Not because of us, because of Jesus. That should bring you a peace. And a desire, man. Just let God do all He wants to in your life and through your life. Folks, we've all made mistakes. We've made mistakes knowing they're mistakes. She looking at me? Have you ever done something you know you shouldn't do? You did it anyway? Amen? And did it turn out the way you knew it was going to happen anyway? And you're upset because you did it anyway? Yeah. That's why walking with Jesus is so awesome, because you learn to recognize mistakes, but then you learn to turn away from it before you embrace those mistakes. That's the whole thing, is turn away from it. I want to step over here a second into the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Again, to line us up where we're at today in life. Chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 1. So Jesus came out from the temple, was going away with the disciples, when the disciples came up to point out the temple building to Him. And He said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming into the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." I always believe as it was in the beginning, it shall be in the end. We're in a time again of tribulation, getting greater and greater. But these things will take place. Going back, I said earlier, you know, we're not sitting in a recliner, or we can be sitting in a recliner, but we're not supposed to be, drinking our iced tea, waiting for the rapture. You know? Some of you might be putting on, what was his name, Al Hertz and the Tijuana Brass. Listen to that trumpet sound. Boop. Okay? But no. He's coming. But folks, he wants you to be prepared for the things that you are going to see. For the things that we're into right now. Because the Bible says many hearts will just stop because, man, I can't believe this is going on. You know, we know there's going to be wars, remember wars. We read in the book of Revelation, we see where men's skin falls off. That's nuclear war. But in the book of Ezekiel, I have a hard time saying Ezekiel, it speaks of a war. But it's not in Revelations. And I'm going to do my best I can for the next few minutes, try to describe this to you. Again, just the whole point is to encourage you as you see the prophecies being fulfilled, not to be scared when they take place and think that, man, something happened. Some are preaching, oh, we're in the middle of tribulations right now. We are not in the middle of tribulations. Understand that. The church is removed when tribulation starts. And then 7 years of tribulation. But if you'd like to, you can turn to the book of Ezekiel. It might take you a while to find it. Took me a while. It's the Old Testament. In between Genesis and Malachi. I do all I can. I'm going to read your first few verses and then go back and recap on it. Oh, we're in chapter 38. I believe I said, didn't I? Yeah, 38, verse 1. I think we'll go up to verse 9 to start with. Ezekiel chapter 38. What's that, hon? Oh, okay, it's on the overhead up here. Sometimes we get in our head that we're such a great nation or this and that will take place, or this person is going to come back into power, and we forget about God. And I know we were talking about last week before last, that I believe that God's going to move in such a way, many of us believe this, that it's going to say, hey, it's God. It's not Starkey. It's not President Trump, or it's not the Republicans. It's God. For God's glory. And that's what's going to... See, God wants us to rely on Him. Now, He'll use people. But look to God for your provisions. Look at God. And how do we do that? We honor God in our life. His Word says to do this, we do it. Amen? It says don't do it, we don't do it, right? Now, just think of that. If every time you did anything, if you did exactly what God said to do, and did exactly and didn't do exactly what he said not to do, how would your life be today? Fantastic! Yes! Some of us have a lot closer friends today because you wouldn't have run your mouth about it the night before. Amen? You want me to use some people? But that's that part we say we're fighting the flesh, right? You're trying to tame the flesh. We do that through prayer, fasting, and hearing the Word of God. Amen. Some of us need to go back and apologize to people that you insulted, if you can. Never be afraid to build a bridge back of friendship. Now, the difference between friendship and partnership. Partnership intertwined with them. Be careful of that. But friendship is a totally different thing. I have a lot of people that are my friends, but they don't like me. You know what I'm saying? That's what God wants us to be that way. Okay, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Roth, Meshach, and Tubal. It will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them, splendidly attired, a great company with bucklers and shield, all of them wielding swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and put with them all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer with all his troops, Beth Tolmage from the remote parts of the north with all his troops, many people with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days you will be summoned. In the latter years you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which have been a continual waste. But its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. You will go up, you will come like a storm, you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops, and many people. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come unto your mind, and you will devise an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, all them living without walls and having no bars, no gates, to capture spoil and seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the center of the world. I mean, it goes on and on. It's coming after the good stuff. Amen? Coming after the good stuff. We'll catch up here in just a little bit. But it says in the first three verses there, verse 1 to 3, The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, turn your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Say, Thus says the Lord God, See, I am coming against you, Gog, chief priest of Meshach and Tubal. I really tear them those up. Now, this here Gog he's speaking of is an evil spirit. And it's probably a Satan who he's talking about. Because we know in Revelation, you Gog and Magog, and they're coming together. Gog shows up again at the end of the millennial reign in another Gog-Magog war. But it's not Ezekiel's war. That war is found in Revelation 28. Hey, Rick. You got to tell that young couple who keeps walking past. Come on in. They're waiting. Time to come and have a seat. God is not against people. Understand that. He's against evil spirits in the heavenlies that are influencing nations. Notice this is chief prince or head of the evil spirits. This is Satan. He's in charge, and that's what this war is going to be about. We know from the book of Daniel there are evil spirits over nations and over cities. And then we had one over our city here. It was probably still a pharmaceutical, a drug spirit enticing people. For instance, the prince of Persia is the prince of Grecia. The book of Revelation tells us Satan has a seat in Pergamum, in which we know that's Satan's throne. So Satan can move his throne over different states, different cities. Okay, he's the prince of the power of the air. Understand that? And I don't know how much you all know, but we are in a demonic war, spiritual warfare. You are a spirit and soul living in a body, and we fight not against power, flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, which are evil spirits. See, Satan is not in hell. He never has been in hell. Now, someday he's gone there, but he moves his headquarters around in different nations during different ages. For instance, during the time of Hitler, he ruled over Berlin, Germany. Now, according to Art Scrolls on Ezekiel 38, Hebrew word for Magog equals Rush or Russia. Now, have you been hearing about Russia lately? Yep. The land of Magog is located in Russia at the farthest point north in Russia. And if you draw a straight line from Jerusalem to Israel straight north, we come to Moscow and Russia. 2,672 miles. Now hang in there with me. This will all come together. Tubal and Meshnik, again, you can say the words however you want to, were the fifth and sixth sons of Japhet, the son of Noah. And that's in Genesis 10:2. But we continue in Ezekiel 38:5-6. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws to lead you out with all your army, horses and riders, all well armed, a great company, all of them bucklers and shields, carry swords. Persia, Cush, and Put, with them all with shields and helmets. And notice in verse 4, God is the one causing them to make their decisions. God is the one that's pushing them to do this. Even though they don't recognize it's God, but he's the one that's called them to do that. See, God's got a greater purpose. Notice Russia here has allies. The number one mention is Persia, or is what? Iran today. Does that ring a bell right now in the news? Look at them coming together. Russia hasn't always been an ally of Iran. It didn't begin until 1975 when they helped build a nuclear plant. So Ezekiel would not have had any idea these nations would become allies, which is an inspiration of God gave to him through this prophecy. Look how long ago this has been. This prophecy came out. Now, this war Ezekiel was seeing is very near our horizon today because all these nations are in place and they cannot remain in place forever. Ezekiel 38:6 says, Gomer and all his troops, Beth-Tumpage from the recesses of Zaphon and all his troops, many nations will come with her. What country is Gomer? We're not really sure exactly which nation is Gomer's. But in Generation 10:3, the sons of Gomer was Ashkenaz, Rephaim, and Togarmah. Feel free back here, scholars, to correct any pronunciation that I have. Now, the Jews in Europe are called Ashkenaz, so Gomer must be somewhere in the Eastern Europe countries. So see how they're all lining up. In verse 6, it mentions Beth-Tophaj. Which country is this? It's Turkey. That's another one you've been hearing about, okay? All these are coming together, okay? They're going to come against Israel, okay? Again, this is not a war in the Revelations after the church is removed out of here. These are lining up right now. And in verse 8b says, in the last years you will invade a land that has survived the sword, a people gathered from many nations back to the long deserted mountains of Israel. A literal translation would say, for many years, meaning from ancient times you will be recalled. Is Israel being recalled now? Yes. Some ancient scholars believe the purpose of this war was to bring about judgment to all the nations on how they have treated Israel over the centuries. The only judgment a nation receives, not individual people, but the nation as a whole, is how did they treat Israel. Wow. See, in Numbers 24:9, it tells us, Those who bless Israel bring blessing upon themselves, but those who curse Israel will bring curses upon themselves. And folks, we have to look at our nation today. Not our individuals, when we are here, we love Israel. But we have a nation, a country now, a leadership today that despises Israel. So much underhanded stuff our administration is doing now against Israel. And folks, I'm telling you what, it is not going unnoticed by God. Our strongest time as a nation has been when we stood up with Israel, not afraid to speak up for their defense. As we continue in this path we're walking down, we will see a lot of crossfires among the nations. We're going to see many scary things. But remember, God has a purpose in all this. He's going to show Himself to the nations. He's going to show Himself. He's not going to show individuals. They're going to know there's a God in heaven. His name is Yahweh, Jehovah. He's like, I am God. He's doing this for His glory, but for the sake of the nations. So this will be a great tool for those who are in the Islamic states, Islam. Why can that be a tool? Well, verse 16, it tells us, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heaven may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their ease. Young's literal translation, to break it down more, they're called nations here before you, their eyes. The nations will see that it was God. They will see it was God doing it. In Islam, they only respect you because of power. They don't respect you because of your intelligence. It's those who stand up. That's how you get their attention. You know, if you come to me, David, and you said, well, I'm gonna slap you. And I said, oh, please don't. Please don't. You have no respect for me. But I said, hey, go ahead, take your best shot, buddy. But I can get back up again. Whoom! See what I'm saying? You respect me for that. You might still lay me out, okay? But you respect me because I'm going to stand my ground. That's what they look for. What's that? Respect. Thank you very much. That's what they respect, okay? So God is going to show Himself to Islam by His power. Wow. Wow. My. Mm. In verse 19 there, we're still in Ezekiel 38. For my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all the creepy things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brothers. Brothers against each other, caught in a crossfire. The walls that we think is protecting us, coming down. Because God's going to show His glory. Verse 22 says, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And the whole point is this. Verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. There were no mistaken. He's not the big guy upstairs. He ain't the long-haired hippie dude you thought you saw walking out of 2,000 years ago. He is God. And He will not bow to nobody. And the nation's going to wake up. They're going to understand this. And this nation's going to wake up and understand that. I don't know how far we're going to have to bow down, but we're going to recognize there is God in heaven. His name's Jehovah. He's in charge of this place. We're going to either line up with Him or get out of the way. He will step on you. You'll be annihilated. If you're going to stand up and represent the prince of Persia, which is the devil, You got to make that decision, folks. This prey stuff has got to cease. They say, well, you do what you want to. No! If you're doing something against the Word of God, if you're bringing stuff against my kids, my grandchildren, out! We got to take a stand. God is with us. But these people with backbones willing to stand up and say, wait, that's perverted! That's wrong! Because the ones who are engaged in that, don't hate them. They've been deceived. They've been deceived. And mainly because we've kept our mouth shut. We've been taught political correctness. Not all of us. And we gotta get away from that. And God's gonna show His power. But that power is gonna come over top of those who are standing with God. Folks, it ain't over yet. Don't surrender yet. Don't surrender wherever it is right now. Okay, all right, listen. We'll be enemies, okay? I'm good, you're bad. Okay. Hey, all right, I give up. You have anything on that side of Main Street? Oh, I got things on this side. Ah, peace. Amen? Oh, yeah. You can't go across that street. That is not yours across the street. I want you out of Coshocton. I want you to cross that TR bridge. I want you to start heading towards Millersburg. I want you to go to Wayne County. I want you to get out of here. You're no longer to be here. Right. Oh, wait. You said I'd be. I didn't say you did. My forefathers compromised and said you had that side of Main Street. But you're evil. You're coming against my loved ones. Get out. That's where we're at. Again, always remember, we're not hating people. It's that spirit that's controlling them. Understand? I don't want anybody to grab ball bats and take off around town, okay? They've been deceived because we have allowed God's power to be weakened. He hasn't weakened, but he's been really quiet. He said, okay, I'm going to show myself. I'm going to show myself. There's a story that goes off during the Gulf War. Where he was pounding. Our enemy have a habit of hiding their ammunition and stuff around housing developments, schoolhouses and stuff. It says during the Gulf War, there's a lady who had 7 children. Was in one of those housing developments. And they were getting bombarded. People were just getting blowed up. She didn't know too much, but she cried out. She says, "The God of the American people, I call upon you." Knowing there was a God. Knowing there was a God of power and strength that she had heard of. And God sent His angels around and protected that apartment. It was the only one standing after the battle. Again, the Arab nations only recognize power. If you show weakness, they don't pay any attention to you. There will be a great incoming Islamic people when they see God's power. So our efforts are not enough. God must show Himself strong, big, and undeniable. And He will do it. They're going to see the move of the true living God. They have a false God. They have a God, you got to murder, you got to do this, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to see the hand of our God move in such a way, it's going to draw them to Him because they honor authority and power. Wow. We can do everything we can. We want to continue to witness and support. But this is going to take place. And folks, if this war doesn't happen this year, I'll be surprised. I will be surprised. I mean, many folks believe the same thing. Ezekiel 39:7 is a different chapter now, verse 7. He says, "So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." And folks, this is a time when all of Israel will turn themselves to Jehovah. They will recognize God, not Jesus yet, okay? That's going to be in the middle of the tribulation period. But you got many Israelites They don't even believe in God. They had nothing to do with Jehovah. They're like normal, simple Americans. Put it that way. But man, at this time, as God shows Himself, His children going to recognize Papa! Papa! And they're coming down. Now, how we recognize Papa, then we recognize His Son as time goes on as being His Son. But through that, so again, these things are going to be taking place. And where He doesn't want us to be ignorant and scared, oh man, what's going on? I thought we were going to be out of here. I mean, we'll be out when He's ready. But when you wake up tomorrow and you find out, oh man, you got Russia and you got China against Israel. Oh, don't be scared. They're going to take place with God's glory. Be prepared. Be prepared here. Stay in the Word. Don't be shocked. Many Jews in Israel are not believing because they wonder where God was during the Holocaust. Remember I said earlier, you ever been mad at God? Can you imagine being God's chosen people, Israel? And 9 million, I think it was 9 million, wiped out in the Holocaust? Where you at, God? Where you at, God? You can understand how their hearts could grow cold. Hatred, like my heart did. But man, this is going to bring him back around. God didn't walk away from him. God hasn't walked away from you because you're mad at Him. He's out there with you. And He's done things, I believe, in your life right now that He is trying to get across to you His love He has for you. Ezekiel 39:21-22. Now I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen nations shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Again, the Lord says, the purpose of Ezekiel's war is for the nations to know and see He is God. Folks, we pray and we pray for salvation, our loved ones' eyes to be open, okay, that they're coming to know God. And we got to trust God. This is going to take place, okay? And this war is for the benefit of the prayers we're sending up. We just need to be prepared and dig our feet and say, okay, I'm ready for this thing. I'm ready. Hey, salvation to the Lord upon our people. Amen? And verse 25 goes on to speak about the great and gathering of His people, Israel. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. And Ezekiel war will start in Damascus. And in Zechariah 9, to the end of the book, it tells of God dealing with mankind in the last days. It's divided in two parts. You have Zechariah 9:11 deals with gentle power over Israel. Gentile power is finally destroyed. And then Zechariah 12:14 with preparing Israel to reign upon the earth. So the beginning of judgment of the nation starts in Zechariah 9:1. So the oracle of the word of the Lord that is against the land of Habakkuk in Damascus is the place where it will rest. For the eyes of men and the tribe of Israel are the Lord. This tells us that Damascus will be the basis of beginning of the war, and the eyes of the whole world will be watching. Damascus, you all remember Damascus Road? Remember Brother Paul walking down there? Okay. And Isaiah 17:1 ties into just about 5 minutes, guys. Hang in there with me if you can. Maybe six. Isaiah 17:1 says, the oracle on Damascus, so Damascus shall cease to be a city and become a pile of ruins. Damascus is one of the oldest inhabited cities in all the earth. It has never been taken away from being a city. But Damascus is only a shadow of its former self today. It's shrinking. Iran, which is Persia, is shipping lots of military equipment to Damascus and storing it there to get it to the Hezbollah group in Lebanon against Israel. So they are using, Iran is using Damascus to store military stuff there in order to get it over to the Lebanon group. So Damascus is not a friend of Israel. Huh? In Syria, right. The Damascus in Syria. Weekly, sometimes daily, Israeli will bomb and the place they store it. So this is going on right now. Bombing, bombing, bombing. Damascus airport was taken out. So Israel, to defend themselves, find these stockpiles of Damascus and they're blowing it up. Blowing it up. Going against their enemy. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, know that I'm at the door. The whole world is seeing these things happening right now. Remember Zechariah said, the eyes of the people would be upon the Lord and upon Damascus. Isaiah 17:7 says, on that day people shall turn to their Maker, their eyes shall look at the Holy One of Israel. Verse 12 and 14, Isaiah 17. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the noise of the seas, and the rushing of many people who make a rumble like the rumbling of mighty waters. The nations rumble like the rumbling of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as a shaft of the mountains before the wind, and like rolling dust before the whirlwind. At evening time, sudden terror. Terror, and before the morning there are no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and a lot of those who rob us. Notice they come to take a spoil or plunder. They didn't bring out emphasis that, but notice that Damascus is the start, and other nations are involved. But I'll tell you what, it says here, at evening time, sudden terror. But morning, there are no more. Meaning this will be a short war. They're going to come against Israel. They will be defeated. Again, this is not the war in Revelation. This is what we're headed towards right now. There's no verses that we can locate in the Bible that ever says that Israel will be destroyed by a nuclear power. And right now they're saying, oh, watch out for the nuke. Nah. Israel will never, ever be destroyed. But however, Damascus will be devastated. They could be nuked. And again, that's southern part of Assyria. And this is the judgment of the nations, Ezekiel war. And folks, I believe we're going to see this. Again, this is not given to you to scare you. God's word is given to us to prepare us. And you wake up tomorrow morning, it's flashing all over the news. Hey, you already know how the war is going to turn out. Amen? You already know how it's going to turn out. You need to hang on. And no, don't get called in betting parlors and bet on Israel. You don't want to do that. They're already guaranteed. Right, brother? He is. And this is what's taking place right now. I don't remember all the names. Let's go back to the Buffalo Bills. Remember the football game when that gentleman made a tackle and his heart stopped? You know the coach got down on the floor of the field, and then started praying. His heart stopped, and he brought his people down and started praying. And the other team started praying, and the sports commentator on TV. We all need to start praying. And pray. His heart has stopped, and started beating again. Think of that. You talk about awakening taking place. It's already started, guys. It's already started. I mean, those who once would kneel on the field and despise of this nation, godly men and women kneeled, calling upon the God of this nation. And God heard their cries. He is a walking testimony. So when you think it's all dead and out, it's over with, when you think there's no hope for this nation, I'm telling you what, there's a God named Yahweh who's still in charge. He's going to show himself so fantastic that the nation is going to bow to him. And you and me got the front row seat. So be encouraged, folks. Be encouraged. Don't be dismayed. Watch what our God does. Amen. Father, we thank you for the prophecy of this book. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that we're not ignorant. We thank you that you don't want to leave us out there hanging, not knowing the current events that will take place, God. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters we gather here, they continue to be strengthened, Lord. They'd be prepared in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit, and in their homes, Father. We continue to pray for Israel. We pray for their strength. We pray for their wisdom. We pray for that nation today that's trying to be divided among themselves, Father, like America is. We speak peace, but not a compromised peace, but the peace of God upon Israel and the peace of God upon America. That both enemies be removed and righteous men and women be raised up. Righteous men and women of God to take control, to bring you glory. May we allow you to show in our nation and all nations your power and your glory. And we do thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.